Hello, everyone. I'm Al Deldegan, creator and producer of the Leaders, Innovators, and Big Ideas podcast, supported by Rainforest Alberta. This podcast showcases the people who are working to improve Alberta's innovation ecosystem. The host for this episode is Mike Procy. Let's join Mike as he has a discussion on community innovation with Nathan Klassen. Take it away, Mike.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Al. And thank you very much, Nathan Klassen, for joining us today. Really happy to have Nathan on the episode. For those of you that aren't aware, Nathan is the Director of Continuous Improvement at TriMac Transportation with over 10 years of experience. But today we're here to talk about something he's really passionate about, the founder of Innovate Cochrane, a grassroots innovation community here right in Cochrane, Alberta. Before we jump into all that good stuff, Nathan, how are you doing today?
It's a fantastic day so far, and it's about to get better. So thanks for
joining. Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us today. So let's jump right into things. Why are you passionate about community innovation? What does that mean to you? And just maybe a little bit more context too. It's a term I wasn't familiar with until I was introduced to you. So what is it about community innovation that you're passionate about?
I think because it is somewhat of a new reference or a new way of referencing doing community. You know, the word community itself probably also has a lot of different definitions. In my journey, community means my physical community, where I and my wife chose to relocate to about 8 or 9 years ago, back from Winnipeg when I was in transportation there, back to the Calgary region, decided Cochrane was a great fit for us as a family. And yet my challenge there was I was working for a company that was based in Winnipeg. I was flying every month to Winnipeg to manage my team there and also working out of our Calgary office, which was on the other side of Calgary, almost to Chestermere. And so two hours a day, you know, 3 weeks out of four, driving, committing my time to the highway, and then 1 week out of four flying to Winnipeg. And so I was finding, loved our community, wanted to be more involved, but I was giving a lot of time away to the highway and to travel. And so for me, community innovation at that time was, how do we make opportunities in Cochrane so more folks like me that, you know, have a professional background could actually bring that professional background to my own community and then save some of that time, give it back to my family, give it back to the community. So I got on this kind of personal drive, I guess you could say, around, hey, we need an innovation center. We need some kind of innovation hub or central effort so people like me, we can make more jobs in Cochrane for people like me to be in my own community and give back directly, not just, you know, a few hours here and there. And so I got on this kind of bent around, you know, how do we innovate as a community to intentionally create more opportunities? And so then that started a bunch of conversations in the community, meeting with the people that work for our town, for the mayor and council, for other business leaders, organizations. And so that's evolved into what's now become an actual nonprofit legal entity called Innovate Cochrane. And so if you were to, you know, like to get an email from me, the tagline on my email address says, what are the greatest needs for innovation in our community? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of needs in our community and lots of amazing organizations, people that are doing amazing things that are meeting needs. For me, my question was more around what are the gaps? What are the needs that still exist? Big ones, little ones, complex ones, simple ones. And how do we get after connecting as a community fabric and then solving those things in maybe new ways, innovative ways? And I was able to draw on my day job, my other toolkits that I was building and implementing in corporate settings. I was able to bring some of that knowledge and insight and then use it to test some things at the community level. So that's community innovation, kind of the genesis of it, I would say.
Well, kudos to you seeing that need. And what's really cool about that story and journey too is tying your personal, professional experience into that and then driving it into something that you're really passionate about. And it's funny because I've spent a lot of time in the innovation ecosystem. You know, we always think about organizations. We always think about startups. We always think about corporations. But absolutely, a city would need to innovate in and of itself. A city would need to create hubs for that. And it's nice to hear a little bit about the grassroots movements behind the scenes that are helping make this happen. I'm curious, Nathan, you could have started anything. You could have started a dance school out there, painting school, anything to bring the community together. Why innovation for you? What is it that really drives you towards that innovation theme?
Well, so my curiosity, I think, around community innovation started with, you know, like continuous improvement or lean, like the toolkits that I was rolling out to in a company level. And I was seeing these tools and thinking, well, like, So for example, Trimac, where I work right now, 4,000 employees or so, you know, across the whole continent, 120 locations. And so there's a level of complexity within our corporate walls that we are trying to get things done. We're trying to, you know, improve our operating ratio and succeed and, you know, generate revenue and make our employees, you know, have meaningful work. And then I started studying around complexity theory or complex systems and realized that all of us are a part and a whole. Everything is a part and a whole. So I'm a whole person sitting here in this conversation, but you and I are both parts of this conversation. This conversation is a whole, but it's actually part of a greater conversation that's happening in Calgary. Well, the conversations in Calgary are a whole, but they're also just part of something else. And so I just started to realize that everything in our lives, we're either playing a part of something or we are a whole and that other things are comprising of us. So when I think about innovation, innovation always starts with inside of myself and inside of us as individuals. Mm. And the practices, the behaviors, the mindsets. When I think about organizational change, for example, that I have studied, when you want an organization of 4,000 people to move in a different direction, that's essentially 4,000 individual change journeys that if you get them all rowing in the same direction becomes one large corporate change. Mm-hmm. But all of those parts comprise the whole. Well, when I started looking through that set of glasses, community innovation is really just more nodes, more complex system, but maybe more complex, but maybe not. And so then if the lens is the same, it's just different elements that you're putting together to get emergent, unexpected, and emergent outcomes. It works for me as a human. If I add different parts to me, if I add more insight and knowledge, that transforms who I am. But then that spills out of my personal bucket into my relationships, into my team that I manage, into the influence I have in my organization. Well, my organization then can also have influence in our community. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, then why not bring organizations in my physical community that all seem to be siloed? Some are nonprofits, some are for-profits. Maybe there's a town administration or a library. But all of those organizations exist within our single community. They are all parts of a whole called mm-hmm. Cochrane. And if we put them all together intentionally and then intentionally build relationship bridges between them, help them understand each other, we actually knit together a complex system more tightly than they have been in the past through some of the programming we're experimenting with now. And what we are getting are emergent outcomes that we could not have expected that bring additional value to the quality of life that people can experience in Cochrane.
And that quality of life is being shown in your number one retirement community now. I saw Cochrane just had that award. But also, awesome. I mean, there's a lot of innovation happening in Cochrane that we see. I love the concept that you mentioned there too around starting with yourself. So many times, you know, as innovators, people think if they would just change, if they could just get on board. But it starts with an internal realization. And you mentioned it a little bit there, the difference between corporate and community innovation. How is this aspect differ from the corporate innovation? What are you doing different here with folks?
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing I guess you could say about corporate innovation is, you know, people are all within a single legal structure, a legal company, legal entity, you know, in a corporate setting. Yeah, we have 120 locations, but ultimately we're all being paid from the same bank account, you could say. So we're all under one roof. And so maybe from an innovation lens, maybe our CEO says, hey, we're going this direction. And the answer is, yes, we are. We are all going in that direction because there's influence, there's, you know, reporting lines, accountability. In the community setting, all of those nodes, they're not within a single legal structure where one person or a group of people have influence over everybody. In a community setting, you're inviting people to the table and they're coming with their own agendas, their own mandates, you know, their own interests, and they are not beholden to being at the table. So the nuance or the difference I find in the community setting is we're basically, you know, call it a lightning rod saying, hey, we are committed as an organization. This is who we are. This is what we're about. We want to raise the quality of life in Cochrane by intentionally raising innovation capacity within individuals and organizations, by intentionally connecting organizations, by showcasing the amazing stuff that's already going on in our community. That's what we're about. If you want to be about that, let's get together. And it's happening. People are coming and saying, hey, I could benefit from that. That's value to me. Or I see that need. I can provide the solution. So it's maybe a bit more organic in its structural cohesiveness. There's no must or should. Everybody has to get together. They don't. So, but the beautiful thing is, and I would say corporate innovation could learn from this as well. when you have a an intrinsic motivation for entities to come together, and they do that willingly, and they do that with intention, then what you get is change. Then what you get is impact. Just like I've seen in a corporate setting, there can be the thou shalt do this. Some people might do it. Lots of people won't, because there's no intrinsic motivation. Mm-hmm. But if I can get at the resonance within you that says, hey, we both understand why we're trying to achieve this thing, this is my contribution. And then you say, wow, that resonates with me. I'm willfully, intentionally bringing my contribution. Organizational change probably has a better chance of sticking in the corporate setting. It's the same recipe. It's the same ingredients of getting stickiness and commitment. Again, commitment boils down to me as a human, one human and another human and a bunch of humans that maybe are in departments. It always comes back to the individual humans. And we're testing that stuff in a community setting and realizing that the basic recipes are not that different from each other to get to successful impact.
And there's a passion behind there as well that I'm hearing. Like you say, the idea of having everybody come voluntarily to these things, they're dedicating their time, they want to see the change. That's quite a little bit different than what you might experience in a corporate setting where the CEO might be saying, thou shalt. And I think exactly like you mentioned, there's opportunities for both to learn from each other. And I've seen a lot of incredible corporate initiatives start as volunteer initiatives, and then they realize there's passion there and it progresses. So thinking you know, the nodes and the different types of connection and us versus individuals, what should corporations be doing to support community innovation? What should individuals be doing to support this community innovation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. So maybe two thoughts on that. One is recognizing that, you know, corporate investment in community innovation actually could significantly benefit the corporation. It's not actually a one directional value, because for myself, even by me taking the time as a corporate innovation professional, getting paid for that as my day job, bringing that down and say, offering some of those, that knowledge or my own toolkit to my community, I'm seeing that what I'm doing in the corporate setting actually also works in the community setting. It's validating in some ways what I'm trying to do in the corporate setting. And in fact, some of those kind of key insights that are surfacing from our corporate or our community innovation efforts, I can take those insights and they actually better inform the efforts that I'm trying to do within our corporate success strategy as well. So there's a synergy of benefit. Mm-hmm. I think that encouraging your people to go and do, frankly, things that are maybe similar, but perpendicular. So, you know, corporate community innovation doesn't sound like it should be connected to corporate, but it absolutely is. And by me intentionally making that time, I'm seeing where that community side investment of time is actually better informing the things that we're doing on the corporate side. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. I think as individuals, though, to that question, what I love about Cochrane is there are people that have amazing professional skills and tech, and what we're doing, part of community innovating is I know lots of people in Cochrane that just like me for years have been driving up to Highway 1A into Calgary every morning and taking their paid knowledge and getting paid to do it in the city. But when they come back to the community, there aren't places for them to bring that same skill set and say, hey, I want to give back to my community. You know, like I've had business analysts working for me for years and process mapping and optimizing. Well, say you're a nonprofit and you don't have a lot of resource and you've been kind of, you know, hodgepodging some systems and things together and every dollar counts, but you've got volunteers coming in, but your volunteers are spending time on inefficient processes because you don't have that. That's not the knowledge base that was, you know, brought in with the vision. Well, what if I had a business analyst in Cochrane that said, hey, I want to give 2 hours of time a week. And I'm like, well, you should go hang out with this nonprofit because they could sure use your skill mapping their processes and helping them even just see where they can optimize so that a dollar, you know, an hour spent by a volunteer and the time or even a paid staff when paying staff is at a premium, you know, 3 hours of paid time could become 1 hour of paid time and the other 2 hours could actually go to client facing or serving the community. Well, so that's where, you know, I have a BA that wants to give their professional time to the community. That's their need. I have an organization that needs their skills. Well, that's just two needs that if you put the two needs together, you just created two results or two solutions without adding any other resources. You can convert two needs to two solutions. And so that's where I think that's community innovation too. And that's where we can benefit each other by making space and inviting, but you have to make space for so people can step into and then serve each other.
And I think everyone knows, if anyone was reading any, you know, previous research on, we all heard about the blockbusters or the Kodaks or whatever it is. I mean, a lot of times there's a certain aspect of people having their blinders on and not connecting with the community, not seeing these things, right? So anytime an individual or an organization has the opportunity to open up those blinders and see more what's happening, that's definitely going to benefit folks. So as we think about this, it's really exciting to think about this happening on a community level. I've seen a lot of action on this happening as well in Calgary. We just have a little bit of a selfish plug, but the Edmonton Innovation Pure Forum is ramping up there. Yep. So what does community innovation mean for the future of cities? What are we going to see come out of this?
Yeah, I think more and more we're recognizing that, you know, traditional silos don't benefit us in the real world. So, to have, for example, at the town of Cochrane, the administration there, it's growing with a very fast-paced growing community, recognizing that you might have a director that oversees called the social services part of the community and maybe one that's in charge of economic development. What we're doing in some of our, you know, innovation ecosystem programming by Innovate Cochrane in the community, we're putting social enterprises and for-profits, and we're bringing the town in as a participant. We're putting them all in a room. And I think what we're testing and validating is there is a lot more connectivity within our community environment or framework than maybe what we've acknowledged. But by intentionally linking those entities together, we actually get emergent value that is not part of maybe traditional metrics that we would say, hey, we should invest more money over here or over there. What if we invested money in the middle? And so we're testing hypotheses at a community level to show that, you know, These things aren't siloed anymore. We are a complex system as a community. And to the degree that we can be intentional with our connections, you know, and then the influential connections and then putting resource into that, we're testing through an innovative approach on how do we lift the whole community, you know, at once. Some of these very targeted, it's not haphazard. It's very targeted observation and listening, framing up some hypotheses and then doing some, just like any startup, doing some as fast as you can turn a learning cycle to figure out, okay, our hypothesis was this. We built a test. We put people together. Wow, that's amazing. Let's do more of that. Or actually, no, there's more going on there than we thought. It's just like any startup. You can take the same kind of lean startup approach to testing hypotheses in your community. All you really need is a handful of folks that are willing to come together, find some residents, test it, and then cycle it. You know, it doesn't have to be super complex or lots of actors at the table. It can just be a handful to get things started.
Amazing. And I love that idea of the unintended consequences, right? And the unintended positive consequences, like a snowball. When you start something, you don't really know what it's going to become, but it builds its own momentum. And we've been seeing that throughout Cochrane and the work that you're doing and throughout Alberta, honestly. So, you know, we have a lot of listeners right now. They might be corporate innovators. They might be in their day-to-day. They may be entrepreneurs and looking at getting involved in community innovation and thinking, well, what's the overlap here? How are these two roles synergistic? So how has your role as a community innovator really impacted your corporate innovation role? What are the overlaps that you see?
So I think what I've seen a lot of is, you know, we have, you know, very kind of robust methodologies and frameworks, you know, even around like innovation engineering or, you know, continuous improvement, lean type of practices. Our vision for community innovation was to take some of those things that, say, a Trimac Transportation could pay me, you know, full time to do, which I'm very grateful for, but small nonprofits in our community, they can't pay for my director of continuous improvement, you know, role. But what if we could boil those tools and practices down to something that was very simple, easy for them to take on and be able to manipulate it to align with their DNA as an organization and the time and the space that they have, because they've got people that have ideas, but then how do you create a basic system of idea capture to validate them, prioritize them? If you're a small nonprofit, you've got time to tackle one improvement idea, not 10. Great. Mm-hmm. Let's put 10 on there. Let's get everybody's voice. Let's capture them. Let's prioritize and pick the one thing that we think is going to be the biggest impact. Imparting a very basic CI or innovation toolkit to organizations has been part of our hypothesis out here in our recent programming, and it's working. It's giving them a little bit of lift. It claws back a little bit of time, you know, from their schedules, which gives them a bit more lift and oxygen and nose above water to then cycle that again and maybe create more or capture the horizon looking ideas and things when oftentimes you're just trying to make sure your donor base doesn't go anywhere. You know, if you're a small business, just cash flow is king, trying to survive to pay your employees for another month. Those things are real and have to be in place. we're offering the ability to just create an environment for them to hear from others and get some inspiration, but also some basic tools. And I'm finding you can take the really complex tools, boil them down to a small organization kind of environment. But what I'm also finding, Mike, is I can take that basic toolkit. And if I'm trying to do corporate broad innovation, now I'm looking for small pockets in the company to say, hey, you're basically like one of those small organizations. You're a team of four or five. You've got a leader that has a vision. Let's do an experiment with you. Let's give you the basic toolkit. Let you guys practice the same thing that's happening at the community level. This happens to be one small department now. Again, the clothing looks different. The shell looks different, but the practice is the same. Mm. So it can inform back into the corporate space to do targeted experiments. And then as that builds, like you said, often they start as passion projects or somebody's doing something in the corner. The challenge then is how do you to scale that and have people pull it into their world, not push it on people, because that can sometimes be our tendency as corporate space, but find those that resonate with it and then let them pull that into their corner and then support them to do it. Those are some of the crossover experiments that are happening in my world currently.
And I love that aspect there. You hit on it again a couple times of accessibility. Like it feels like you say, you know, the large organizations have access to worldwide global networks. Like they can access certain things. They can work with certain consultants, all sorts of different advantages, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas what you've done is taken those tools and allowed more accessibility for folks having those conversations at a different level, which really, I mean, from the startup community, from individuals, from academia, from government is probably appreciated throughout the board. So we've been hearing a lot of exciting stuff about what's been going on there. I'm glad we could have a little bit of a discussion on it today. What is one thing that you would leave our listeners with about community innovation? That one nugget that you'd want them to take away from this dialogue?
Yeah, I think it's that each one of us has agency to innovate. We don't need to wait for a department, you know, a centralized effort from our CEO or C-suite. It's find something that's happening around you. And if you're looking for insights on like basic toolkits, you can Google that. There are lots of basic toolkits on ideation and prioritization, et cetera. But my recommendation would be open your eye, look around, take 10 minutes of your week, look around, find something that you have agency to move the needle on. And it's only going to happen if you act. So just act. Don't worry about pretty or shiny. Just act. Forward momentum is the key. Act and then learn. Observe. And then give your space to act again. And you happen to find people that resonate with what you're doing. Pull them along and then just kind of watch what emerges. Because now you're into connecting nodes and watching a complex system of your own take shape. And you'll be shocked at the emergent outcomes that happen. That would be my bet.
No, I'm not even going to attempt to add anything more insightful onto that. I think you absolutely nailed that, Nathan. Again, a huge thanks for taking the time and telling us a little bit more about community innovation. I'm looking forward to everything you continue to build out there in Cochrane.
Awesome, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Great chat.
Thank you.
If you haven't already, visit rainforestab.ca and sign the Rainforest Social Contract. Become part of the inclusive, silo-busting, sector-agnostic, all-industry, open-sourced, ego-shrinking, ecosystem-building, entrepreneur-focused, wide-open, social barrier-smashing community known as Rainforest Alberta.
This episode is brought to you by New Idea Machine, a unique blend of a tech incubator and a software development powerhouse. We're not just building software. We're crafting the next generation of homegrown tech wizards. Got a project in mind or looking to hire fresh talent? Reach out and let's make tech magic happen. Visit newideamachine.com for more info.
Music for the show was created by Tony Deldegan. Please be sure to share this episode with everyone you know. Also, don't forget to come by and say hi at the next Rainforest event. Let us know what you think of this podcast. If you're interested in being either a host, sponsor, or a guest of the show, send me an email at rainforestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.